CopeCast. My very special guest today is Aradia. Very unique name, by the way. Is that your real name or is that like a performer name?
Nope, that's my name.
I love it.
Thank you.
Where did your parents get the idea for that name?
I am not actually sure. I think it's because my dad, his family comes from the Mediterranean, so there's lots of interesting names there, but they couldn't decide what to name me, so I have like seven names. So,
Very cool.
Sometimes that's fun, people trying to pronounce everything.
So you're based in New York City, correct?
I am.
How is the city today? Like how, because I'm in upstate New York, so you know, a lot of people,
oh, awesome.
When I meet them, they're like, oh, you New Yorker. I'm like, trust me, like upstate New York is nothing like New York City.
Right.
New York City was kind of like the epicenter of COVID for the first half. And now it's like, obviously you moved down to Florida, but like, what's the feeling in the city lately?
So I barely ever leave my house. So I don't have a super clear temperature on how things are going, but every time that I have gone out to run errands, or just to take my dog for a walk, take myself for a walk, tensions are definitely palpable. And they've definitely kind of hit a point where I can tell that people are either super happy just to be interacting with another human being, or they're ready to punch somebody in the face within the first 0.03 seconds. So it's, you know, I live in a very diverse Brooklyn neighborhood, and what's happening here right now, there's tensions with like neighbors, for instance, because there's some neighbor, we're all really close together, you know, physically speaking, and some neighbors just don't want to follow any sort of protocol. So they're acting like it's a regular summer. And then there's people like me who are, you know, being super responsible at everything, trying to protect themselves and other people. And the people who aren't following any protocols are putting others in a position, in a kind of an like awkward position, because we can't talk to them closely, and we don't want to correct their behavior, but it's impacting us, so we're kind of unsure what to do.
And I'm sure in New York City, there's no one's shy about letting someone else know their true feelings on if they're not wearing a mask or something.
Yeah, that's me, definitely. Every time I see my neighbors, I'm like, "Where's your mask?"
And, right.
You know, please stay away from me.
If you want to go to a place where you can see people not wear masks, go to Walmart.
No. You know. Oh my gosh.
It's funny. I was in Walmart the other day and like I saw a guy and I'm pretty like I could look be confused for a football player. I'm like almost 6 feet, you know, I'm built like a football player. And like this guy dwarfed me. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna let that one slide. I'm gonna let that guy not wear his mask and just stay away from him.
Yeah, if somebody looks straight up crazy, I'm just not, or like very dangerous, I'm just not going to say anything. But that's why I just have been, I'm like, you know what, I have asthma, I have to be really careful. So
same here.
I'm just going to kind of do, oh, okay. So yeah, so I'm just like, I'm going to do my part and just not go anywhere. Except for yesterday, when I had to go buy like half of Best Buy to make sure I had everything for my live stream tonight. That was like one of my big outings. But it was great. They were amazing. The staff was incredible, and the store is just doing every single thing and then some to make it a great and safe experience. And they won't let anybody in without a mask, period. You're not wearing one. They have security right at the door. They're like, nope.
Yeah, that's good that they're staying strict. And I've seen that, like, you know, at Walmart, they now have security guards at the front, like making sure everyone wears their mask. Speaking of your live stream, your brand new single, Become One, are you excited for that tonight? Like, that's going to be, like, is this the first time you've done that on a scale like you're doing it today?
Yeah, I mean, the live stream thing, absolutely. And I am excited, but of course I'm like, I want to make sure everything is absolutely perfect. And, you know, the technical challenges for somebody who's not a professional live streamer, you know, there are some real struggles there. But outside of, you know, the technical stuff, yeah, I'm super excited. And I hope that I get to really interact with people through the comments and stuff in the Facebook Live.
Were you able to find the iRig stream? Is that the one piece of
equipment? No.
Did you have to get that?
I wanted to, but it's literally because everybody's doing what I'm doing.
Can't find them.
And I live gone. I even tried to get like the super noob version, but I couldn't get anything, not even the guitar version.
Oh, wow. My DJ friends and I, we've been like, we'll do that, but like we'll DJ on Twitch or whatnot. When we first started, it was like, prop your phone up by your speaker, right? And it just didn't sound full. It just sounded very echoey.
Right.
But those Irie things are amazing. Like how clean the audio is, you know, when once you have it, it's a game changer.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So I did, for real. Like, and I, again, you know, I've been playing live shows on stages for a while, and but you know, and that has its own challenges, of course. But doing live streams is a completely different animal, and so I've been learning a lot. So last month, I did a show through Rode Nation. I was on the Rode Less tour series, the live stream series. And the producer during the sound check was like, oh yeah, you know, I've had people use the iRig, but I've even had a lot of problems with the iRig too, with iOS devices. And iOS devices are very finicky. And you don't, I'm a tech nerd, so I need to have like full control over my machines. I cannot let them control me. And I feel like my Apple devices are like, no, right, you don't get to make any choices. And so number one, my iOS devices are crazy and I feel like they're unreliable. Number two, I couldn't find any of the iRigs. So what I ended up doing was buying a Samsung tablet. And I have a couple of the little, I always keep the little interface boxes, like the M Audio, or I have a Behringer that I'm actually using. I always keep those handy just because you never know, right? So we had one in the house and I was able to just do a USB A to USB-C adapter into the Samsung tablet and boom, the audio was there and perfect. This is after days of struggling with different solutions with my iOS device, including the TRS to TRRS cable that's supposed to work immediately. Anyway, lots of gore details, but the bottom line is that the old school Behringer interface just works perfectly with an Android device.
Bottom line is Android over Apple.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, all right, I got a Chromebook now. I bought that just in case because nice. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen and everything's failed me. So, but yeah, so it feels good to kind of get a handle on this stuff and to really be able to give, to put on a show that's quality, right? Because when I listened to the recordings of my Instagram lives, I was like, ooh, yeah, no, I can't do that anymore. Because an iPad is doing the right thing. It's trying to make sure that your voice is heard. So it's squishing all of the music, the backing tracks and the instruments out of the picture. And that's what I was hearing in the Instagram lives that I did before. So it feels good to graduate to another level with this.
Totally. Do you find, because one thing, it's weird, like I just started DJing out again like a month ago. Like there's the one place I'm at on the weekends, they serve food, so they're allowed to have a DJ. Spending the time or 2 or 3 months doing live streams on Twitch when you have 10 people, maybe 20 people or 30 people, obviously you probably have a bigger audience than I do, but has it made you appreciate when you get back to normal? Has it made you appreciate, like, you know, maybe smaller crowds at first because they actually, now they went to a location. They came to see you. Does it mean more now? Because I think a lot of times we took it for granted before we really saw how bad it can get with everyone staying home.
That's a really good question. Firstly, I'm so distracted by wanting to know where this place is that you DJ at because I'm like, I'm just going to get in my car and drive there because that sounds amazing. like anything outside, I'll wear my mask and my glasses or my whole snorkel mask to protect myself. So, you know, it's really interesting. I've played live quite a bit in a few different cities that I've lived in over the past few years, Seattle and Los Angeles and New York. And, you know, it's different for DJs. It's hard to get people to come out to see band shows anymore, unless you're like famous and touring at a certain level. And then people are, of course, you know, really happy to come see you play. But if you're an indie artist like myself and you're not spending a ton on advertising and marketing, and you're not going to a venue that has an audience that just shows up because, it can be challenging to get people to come out. And so my experience has been almost flipped in the sense that with live streams, I'm probably getting larger audiences than I was, right? So, because I was playing a lot of, you know, small to mid-sized venues. I'm hungry, apparently. and you know, and so I'd have good crowds there, but you know, when I do a hop on a live, I'll all of a sudden within the first, you know, few minutes have like 50 people show up, and then it'll be a lot more than that within the first like 30 minutes, which is very exciting. So, but that said, you know, I had paralyzing stage fright for, I've been performing since I was 8 years old, and mm-hmm. I have always had stage fright. And I would perform, and other people were like, you can't tell at all. Like, you're totally lying. And I'm like, no, you don't know what's going on inside my head when I'm on stage. I literally just got over that like a year and a half ago. I'm not really sure why. It just went away. And so now that I went through this transition where I finally started to really enjoy performing on stage, I just missed that connection where I'm looking into the audience and I see somebody really connecting with the song, or I'm seeing people dancing, you know, they start slowly and then they get really into it and they start, you know, really going nuts. I miss that so much. Not being able to see people's faces or see their body language is right. Just, yeah, it's kind of depressing.
No, I totally feel you. Like, especially when you said, you know, you had stage fright, and cause I think it's similar, you know, I've done different events and concerts and things as a radio host, you know. And I remember, like, there's one instance where we had this huge concert and there was 14,000 people there, and I had to introduce acts, right? And that's like my element, right? Like, I love the fact that I could get on the stage and like these people would react. And I remember someone asking me after, they're like, are you nervous when you do that? I'm like, no, I'm not nervous at all up there. It's like, you know, because there's like a barrier, right? Because it's so many mm-hmm. people that they're not up mm-hmm. close. What makes me nervous is like when I'm at a restaurant with 50 people and I have to like stand on a chair and make an announcement to that crowd. And this guy, he didn't understand, like, wait, you're nervous in front of 50 people, but you're not nervous in front of 14,000. I'm like, exactly. Like,
you know, yep.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly it. So speaking of the Facebook live stream tonight and the dropping of your new single, Become One, what's kind of, we're going to play that in a minute, but what's like the one thing that inspired you to make that single, to make that song? Cause it has a really good message.
Thank you. I usually write more messagey kind of songs where it's more like a social consciousness kind of, or philosophical kind of stuff. I never put out a love song. And, you know, when I wrote the song, I really wanted to write something that reflected my romantic side, and my vision for, you know, what it would feel like to actually have someone that I could share everything with. And I love dancing. It's such an integral part of who I am that getting to share that with people, that's one thing, talking about missing things in the world. That's like one of the main things that I miss, is just being able to go somewhere, close my eyes and not have to actually interact with people, but know that I'm in a room full of people that are all feeling this amazing energy and dancing to this awesome music. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I was inspired by.
I love that. I love that. Like the quote that we've heard a million times, like, dance like no one's watching, right? Like, just like lose yes. yourself to the music. Sorry. Before I go on anymore, let's play the song Become okay. One. And then we'll all get in that moment together and we can dance in our cars or wherever we're at right now, our living room or our dens, and then we'll come back and talk after that and we'll talk about our music.
Sounds good.
Music, baby.
That's become one from Aradia on the Kobe cast, and we have her on right now. It's not very often where I get to literally talk to the person whose song I just heard, which I think is kind of cool.
Thank you.
It was funny because my first thing as a radio guy is to compare the song to other songs that I've known. And I think you're versatile. Like, you can be compared to so many different artists, and that's really kind of unique.
Thank you.
Who's the one comparison you like the most? Or who's the comparison, you know, because I know I've done it to myself. Like, when people compare me to other DJs or other radio jocks, I'm like, oh, that's cool, but I wish you compared me to this other guy. Do you have that too? Or do you just take it all as a compliment?
I take it all as a compliment. I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard a comparison to somebody that I really was like, ew, or unhappy about. But I have gotten such a wide range of comparisons. And it's made it challenging because, you know, people ask you like, well, who do you sound like? And I'm like, I wish I had a quick answer.
Right.
But I don't. So I try to remember, I even write down, like, if I hear the same thing 3 times or more, I'm like, okay, I'm going to use that one. So Santa Gold is one that I've heard a number of times. Lily Allen is another one.
Okay.
And I've definitely gotten like a bunch of 80s references, like Madonna and Cyndi Lauper.
I definitely hear Madonna. Like, I definitely heard, hear some Madonna and Become One. I heard Madonna. Definitely.
I think subconsciously, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, first of all. Like, that's, you know, that her and Cyndi Lauper, I'm always like, oh my God, thank you. But I think subconsciously I was going for that because she has such fun, energetic songs that I feel like those can be kind of hard to find in a lot of modern pop music. Sometimes I feel like it's kind of trying too hard, or it's just not capturing that element of like, hey, that's right. Groovy. So yeah, that's a huge compliment. The third one that I get that is always such a, you know, an honor is Blondie.
Okay.
Deborah Harry is you know, a goddess. So I take that as a huge compliment as well.
What have you been like really kind of pouring yourself into other than your music? Because I know, like, you know, the quarantine has definitely given creators like a ton of time to create more than they may have had before. Other than your music, like, what have you found yourself really digging into? If it's, you know, show on Netflix, if it's books, if it's, you know, movies, what have you like really been consuming a lot of content wise?
Well, Kobe, I have to tell you that I'm basically drowning in eggplants, potatoes, and tomatoes because I thought, hey, it's going to be the apocalypse, so we have to make sure we can eat. So I planted like everything you can think of in my Brooklyn backyard, and it's insane. Like, the size of these plants, they've completely taken over. It's like Jurassic Park out there. I'm nice. Like terrified to go out the back stairs. So a lot of reading about how to grow things and how to take care of them, and you know, how to prune my tomato plants to make them grow better and things like that. The gardening has been the number one activity. And then content-wise, I am obsessed with the Netflix show Dark.
You know what? We just literally, like, not even pulling your leg, we just started the first episode last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm like, no spoilers here. But yeah, it's really interesting. It's really cool. And I love the acting. And I have to say, I'm so impressed with the voiceover actors. Because I turn the voiceovers on rather than the subtitles.
Okay.
And I don't even know if I have a, I don't know if you have a choice in the US to choose the, anyway, regardless. The English speaking voiceover actors are tremendously talented.
Yes.
And it makes it such a pleasure to watch. But yeah, I'd be interested to hear like what you think of the show. It's intense.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those. It was one of those shows that were like, if you like Stranger Things, you'll like this, you know?
Right.
Because my daughter and I, like, we can't get enough like of that sci-fi kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, I've shown her all the appropriate Black Mirror episodes that she can watch. You know, that's another good one. If you haven't watched that, that's great.
Obsessed. I'm a total sci-fi nerd, so I have trouble finding enough sci-fi to watch because I watch it all and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to go cry now because there's nothing left. So Dark has been a lifesaver for me. The Picard series that was on CBS, I don't know, I'm very into Star Trek, but what was interesting is I watched Picard during this lockdown with somebody who'd never watched Star Trek and was convinced he didn't like it. And he fell in love with the characters and especially Picard. He's such a powerful character played by an amazing, incredible man who I got to meet in person once for like 3 minutes and it was incredible. Yeah, I met him at a sci-fi con and I've never really been starstruck where I'm like, I can't speak. And I literally could not speak. Sir Patrick Stewart. And he could tell that I was dying. And so he just started the conversation and made me feel really comfortable. And by the end, we were like actually talking. And I went away and I literally cried tears of joy because I finally got to meet him.
Do you think that with the success of Picard, do you think that he kind of overtakes William Shatner as like the Star Trek captain, or do you think they'll always be William Shatner?
No, I definitely I think that when Picard, when people started to watch Next Generation on when it was new and then with all the reruns, I think that they started to see just kind of, because he's not about the swagger, he's about the integrity.
Right.
And so nerds really gravitated toward him. And now with the success of the Picard series, I think now it's just, I really believe there's just no contest, but I feel like I have to do like a nerd survey to find out if I'm right.
There you go. There's a podcast name right there. Nerd survey. are you excited for the new Christopher Nolan film Tenet?
Okay. So I just read about that like 2 days ago. Can you please tell me what that is? Because I didn't even...
Isn't it him and I think it's John David Washington is his name. It's Robert Pattinson and then John David. Aren't they like time traveler? But they're time traveler investigators.
I need to go check this out.
It definitely, like I remember they kept it really, really low key as far as like the trailer, as far as like what came out. And then obviously I think it was supposed to be out already, but obviously everything was pushed back because of the COVID.
Right.
You know, like the other movie that my daughter and I are like waiting to see that we were super excited about. And then I think people have forgotten about it. And John Krasinski said he is not going to release it to on demand. He wants a theatrical release is Quiet Place 2.
That's right. I just got goosebumps.
Yeah. Cause he was like, you need to experience this with like other people, not in your couch. cause that movie was really great. Good.
Yeah. That was really just an excellent, excellent classic style science fiction film.
Yep.
We need more of those. And the acting, I mean, the cast was just like out of control. Awesome.
Yeah. See, cause like, I want a movie, like I don't want to watch a movie that's so realistic that like, I feel like I'm just watching a normal day at, the office or like now with this surreal environment we live in now, I want to like escape for a little bit. Like the first time I ever saw a Game of Thrones movie, I thought I was going to hate, not Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings. First time I saw a Lord of the Rings movie, I thought I was going to hate it. But then I was like, well, you know what? I felt like for 2 hours, I was gone, in another place. Kind of like when you watch Avatar, that's why we pay $15. We want to see something impressive. We want to forget about our normal life for that time.
Yeah. And I think we want to experience emotions and sensations that we would not normally experience. So hence the need for the escapism or the different reality, different world, the visually stimulating stuff that's in, a lot of sci-fi and fantasy movies. Absolutely. And that is actually challenging to find, especially when you don't have the atmosphere of being in a movie theater, like the energy of other people, the size of everything, the fact that you're out of your house. Something that I have a lot more appreciation for, and I've always appreciated good atmosphere, always. Like I would always choose like the restaurants that I ate at and, places I would go for whatever it was, even if it was food shopping, based on the atmosphere. But I have a different appreciation for it now because of the fact that we can't choose the atmosphere really. We went to one, distanced outdoor, restaurant dinner. A couple weeks ago, And it was amazing. The staff did an incredible job. Everybody was wearing masks and gloves, and the people who were there had to wear masks unless they were actively eating at their tables, and everything was space bar out. It was outside, not on a sidewalk where people were walking by. So it was totally incredible. But I had like a glass of wine, and I was like halfway through the glass of wine, and I was like, I feel completely drunk right now. and I realized, oh my God, it's the atmosphere. It's not even the wine. It's the sensation of being out and enjoying, you know, a really nice dinner and being dressed up and all of that stuff. So it's, you know, food, movies, whatever it is, the atmosphere is kind of half of the experience.
It's just like that kinetic energy you get from seeing other people, you know, which I think we all took for granted before.
Yes.
You know, like absolutely. I remember a couple weeks ago, I just had like a couple buddies over, like, we had, like, you know, just to have like nothing crazy, maybe six people in total, you know, still under the eight, you know, but like, I was like, oh my God, having another person in my house, it's not my wife or my daughter, was like surreal.
Right. Right. So. It is. It's, and that's what, like, what I kind of remind people, I know I sound pedantic to most of my friends, but when people are getting down about, you know, how long this is going on and just the whole, the overall situation, I'm like, you know, there's some amazing world-changing positive things always come out of terrible situations.
Exactly.
And yeah, like just the fact that we've been forced to look at ourselves and look at our behaviors, our impact on one another, and the things that really matter to us, that's a gift. It might be wrapped in a really crappy package, but it's a pretty amazing thing.
I love the vibe from this, from everything, from your music, from your personality. You know, I wish you nothing but the best, and I just followed you on Instagram, so I'm along for the ride.
Wow. That you just made my whole week shine with glittery stars of happiness. I really appreciate that. And I'm going to follow you back, and I'm going to find that place where you're DJing outside. I'm going to go there. I'm not even kidding.
No, it's so cool, because it's so weird. Cause like it's a place that, you know, cause I've been and there's my dog.
That's awesome.
Syracuse is like, we're a little bit behind musically, you know, so like the things that work here are like just the straight up hip hop and, you know, country, right? So, but obviously, you know, let's play country in clubs. But like, I kind of get, I like hip hop as much as the next guy, but like a steady diet of it, like I kind of get anxious, right? And this club was like super, it's a speakeasy. So you need to have a password to get in every week.
Oh, cool.
And it's in a bank vault. Like you can't even see inside until you open the vault door. So they're like, we want you to play nothing you play anywhere. That was their rule, is if you play it in another club, don't play it here. We want you to set the mood of just being cool, hip, New York City vibe. So this place, wow. Like I get to play, cause I'm an EDM freak, right? And I get to play all of that chilled out EDM that I never have ever gotten to play anywhere else. You know, so it's super cool like that. And even if it's not busy, I'm just having a ball because I'm finally playing music that I love. You know, I'm finally getting a place to play that and actually be a curator, because I don't think many people understand that's truly what like DJs are, right? Like
exactly.
It's like, here's what I think is cool. I think you're going to find it cool, so I'm going to play it for you rather than playing, hey, here's Usher. Yeah. Again, you know, so nothing against Usher. Yeah. But like, you know, no one's discovering that for the first time in 2020.
Yeah, exactly. It's the whole, like, I really want that. You got to hear this kind of vibe, you know,
right,
when
totally.
Somebody says that to you, that's what a DJ is. It's the guy who says that or the girl.
Yes. Yes. Well, cool. We'll follow each other. Sprinkle some of that gold fairy dust on your tomatoes. They'll grow bigger. I can't wait to watch more and hear more. And definitely thank you for taking the time out today to do this.
Thanks so much. Take care.